And here we are down at Warbirds for Wednesday. J-Mont G, we're on the fly. You're listening to EAA Radio. It's Wednesday, so why wouldn't we be at Warbirds, right?
So, that's right. First big air show.
I'm sitting with Commander Kevin Wisniewski. And Kevin, you are the commander of the reenactors area down here at Warbirds, correct?
Correct. In Warbirds, I'm the chairman of the group, but in this camp, I'm the CO.
There you go, CO. Well, and that's what we're going to talk about for this first segment of the hour on the fly. Normally, this show is produced up at the pilot briefing patio. We've been doing that for many years. Came down to visit you, and thanks for having us today.
Thanks for visiting us.
So tell us about the reenactors area within Warbirds.
Well, the reenactors area, what we represent is what it would look like in World War II on a mobile tactical airfield. We represent the 12th Air Force. So we always tell people we have these beautifully restored aircraft out here, but they couldn't have won the war without the people that flew them and the people that maintained them. So we try to give people a feel for what the pilots looked like and the personnel, and talk to the people a little bit about what their lives were like.
Now, you have a core group that comes back to Oshkosh every year, right?
Yeah, we're a pretty tight-knit family here. About 57, 58 people, pretty much at the core of the group.
And what makes up the reenactors area?
Well, first, the U.S. Army Air Force's contingent, which is our main focus, the 340th Bombardment Group of the 12th Air Force. They would have been going up the boot of Italy with B-25s, so they had to constantly move. That's why the tents work perfectly for that. And then within our group, we also have the 401st Glider Infantry Regiment, so people can get a feel for what the airborne troops looked like, the equipment they carried. We have British Commonwealth, we have the 417 Squadron, and we also have some British paratroopers as well. And then finally, we also have the USO home front here, which gives the people an idea what the gals did at home to keep the troops morale up and to raise war bond money.
And I see that on our left over here, we're kind of centered here in about the middle of the area.
Yeah, we're right on the parade ground here.
The parade ground. And so you have a parade ground, and then it's surrounded by tents that are part of each different area that you represent.
And they're all original, authentic tents. And a lot of the equipment that we use is still original, although we like to start using reproduction stuff now because we don't want to start, you know, ruining the artifacts, especially when it comes to uniforms.
Right, right. Well, I've always thought that this area was kind of cool because it's your own little world down here off the main area of Warbirds. And you're really close to the main road here, which if you visit Warbirds and you come from the North 40, if you take the bus to the North 40 and you're walking in to AirVenture through the gate, it's basically the first place you get to in the AirVenture grounds. Right here on the left side.
Yeah, if you're on the north side, definitely. Just follow the smell of the canvas and you're here.
You know, Bob Hoover's Old Yeller is parked right across the street from you guys. How fitting is that?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of fighter planes right across the street from us. And
Fighter Town, right?
Yep,
across
some
the street
years here. We actually get one of the L-Birds put in here, which fits in perfectly, too, because, you know, the 340th would have had a liaison aircraft as well. So,
speaking of equipment, let's talk about some other equipment you have here. I noticed you have a tank.
Well, it's technically not a tank. It's an armored car.
Armored car.
And that was typically used for forward reconnaissance operations, or on an airbase it would have been used for security.
And then over here you've got some of the old Jeeps.
Yeah, we've got some of our members actually have their own restored World War II Jeeps. So they bring them here to air them out once a year. And we also have a half track. I should point out that the fuel truck, the half track, the armored car, the ambulance across the street, those are all from the Veterans Museum just down the road.
Okay.
Off the freeway. And they graciously bring the vehicles here every year for us to augment the site. And some of their members are also now involved with us as far as living history.
Oh, that's kind of nice because they can keep an eye on things during the year while you're all gone.
That's absolutely. And you know what's really nice about it? They showed up one year with the restored vehicles all painted up in the actual markings for the 340th Bomb Group.
Oh, that's cool.
And I couldn't believe it. I said, I can't believe you did that. And they said, well, we had to put something on them for the museum. So so they're actually accurate to what we do.
So, and then the area over here with the British flag on it, and it says 10 Downing Street. What area is that, and what do they do?
10 Downing Street. Well, that would be where the Queen lives, correct?
Aha. Okay.
Those are the paratrooper, the British paras and Royal Marines. And they're representing basically what the equipment the Brits carried. It is obviously very different than what the Allies had. There was some sharing of equipment, but it gives people an idea what our allies looked like during World War II.
And then behind the fuel truck, what's going on in that corner?
Behind the fuel truck is, that would be where the 401st Glider Infantry is located. Now, other than they would have landed in gliders, typically like on D-Day, the other paratroopers would have jumped out of a C-47 or a C-46. But as far as paratrooper equipment goes, they would all carry the same equipment. So it gives everyone an idea what those guys look like when they jumped on D-Day, and that's actually the uniform they're wearing today.
Okay, and then we'll continue down. Are those tents over there part of that group?
Well, my adjutant's tent would be the next one. Takes care of all my clerical work and checks everybody in, makes sure things are running good. And then behind us, we have our briefing tent. Every morning, we actually have a briefing for the day's missions. We also have half of that is used for extra billeting. So some of our reenactors are actually sleeping in there in authentic style billeting quarters.
Yeah. The old cots and
The original cots. Some guys have original sleeping bags, and we want to make it, you know, we want the people to, it's called living history, so we want the people to be immersed in it when they come here. You know, I get kind of nervous even if I see a water bottle lying around, a modern water bottle. I want people to step back into time and get a feel for it.
Yeah, and I might mention to our listeners that this year, for the first time, we're streaming on video live. If you go to eaaradio.net and click on the video link, you can actually see the things that we're talking about today down here in the reenactors area. This area is actually called Miller Field. Is that correct?
Miller Field. Yeah, for the longest time, we didn't actually have a name for the airfield. And Joe Miller, he was a World War II veteran who actually piloted B-24s in the 13th. And he kind of befriended us. He came over here and just thought this was really great. And Joe is still with us, but his health is not what it used to be. He's out east. So he hasn't made it out to EA in 2 years. But he is, he's bought us beverages at night and food and taking care of us. So we thought in his honor we would name it Miller Field.
Oh, that's
where that comes from.
That's really nice. And, you know, for him, I'm looking around. I see a lot of younger teenagers running around in uniforms. Are these typically kids of reenactors, or do they just have this passion somehow for World War II history?
You know what? It's both. We have, over in the Brits, one of the guys has two of his boys here that have been involved for years in it. One of our U.S. schoolgirls has her brother here for the first time. He's expressed an interest in it. And we also have a few young guys that are just, you know, actually interested in the history in World War II and have come out here. And it's great because we need the young people out here because those guys were, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. You know, for me, how many more years can I do this before I look like I should be behind a desk in Washington, right? So we have to keep it going. And so we're always looking for young blood, people that have a passion for the history and people that are meticulous about being correct with it. Because if we teach it incorrectly, well, that's going to lose the purpose completely.
Right. Living history doesn't become, it's not history anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, awesome. We're going to talk to a couple different people from the different areas here at Miller Field when we come back from our break, right?
You've got that sounds center. Great.
Okay. J-Mont G, we're on the fly. We're at Warbirds today, right across from Fighter Town in Miller's Field, which is the reenactors area down here on the north side of Air Venture 2015. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to EAA Radio.